Ladies and gentlemen, intoxicating drinks, liquor, and beer are contributing factors to broken homes throughout the world. You may hear and read the advertisement, "The choice product of the brewer's art." But I tell you, here is a finished product of the brewer's art. Three persons in their graves. A child made an orphan, both mother and father killed by a drunk driver who mumbled, "What happened? I just had a couple of drinks." Indeed, a choice finished product of the brewer's art. My friends, I tell you these finished products of the brewer's art, the murders committed by drunk drivers on our highways, the murders in the homes, nightclubs, and on the streets, rapes and other criminal acts, should be flashed on every TV screen in the nation. Yes, let the nation see not only the choice products, but the finished product of the brewer's art. Our federal government has taken the position on the harm and danger of cigarette smoking. But I say to you, it is time that the products of the drunkard makers be revealed and exposed for what they are. All America should take a good look at the finished products of the brewer's art. May I present to you just a few, not only choice, but I say finished products of the brewer's art. A few months ago, according to the United Press International, April 8, 1970, in Los Angeles, California, a woman tearfully told a jury that her common-law husband beat her 5-year-old son to death. On the day the child died, the mother testified that the man ordered the child to crawl back and forth between the bathroom and living room as fast as he could. The common-law husband, she testified, gave the youngster a cold shower and jumped up and down on his stomach about 30 seconds before settling down with a cold beer to watch a televised football game. She said the child died, lying on the floor, clad only in swimming trunks. She testified the UPI reported that she tried to give the child artificial respiration, but the accused murderer told her to, quote, "knock it off," and gave him the dignity of dying. Think of it, ladies and gentlemen. Such inhuman treatment, that of literally stomping a deaf child, a 5-year-old child to death, as the testimony stated, settling down with a cold beer to watch a televised football game. This is a choice finished product of the brewer's art. Is it not a pity that a scene like this, picturing a real product of the brewer's art, could not be shown on television screens immediately following some of the advertisements of the so-called choice products of the brewer's art? My friends, hear me. Are you listening? I present to you another case of the choice finished products of the brewer's art. In Hope, Arkansas, a 19-year-old boy testified in his first-degree murder trial for the shooting death of an 18-year-old boy, that he had, quote, "drunk quite a bit of liquor during the card game," end quote. "How much did you drink?" asked the defendant's attorney. "Quite a lot," replied the 19-year-old accused murderer. "What did you do besides drink?" the attorney asked. "I played cards until my headache got worse and things began to get fuzzy," the defendant said. The body of the murdered boy was found on a rural road. He had been shot 5 times with a .22 caliber pistol, the newspaper reported. And this is another choice finished product of the brewer's art. On September 25, 1969, the Dallas Morning News reported that a youth was charged in a student's death because of an argument over beer. Investigators reported that the young college student was drinking beer when two other youths walked up to his car, and one of them demanded part of the beer. It was reported that the student refused to share the beer, and one of the youths, who was carrying a pistol, shot him after a brief argument. Again, the choice product of the brewer's art was a major factor in contributing to murder. Consider another product of the brewer's art. Dateline, Fort Worth, Texas, March 13, 1968. As reported in the Dallas Morning News, youth charged in killing a cab operator. Quote, Homicide detectives have filed charges against three youths accused of killing a 60-year-old cab driver during a $30 robbery. A 16-year-old youth admitted firing the fatal shots. The youth, who said he met his companions in the El Paso jail, told detectives, quote, "He drank beer before going out to find somebody to rob." Ladies and gentlemen, some more choice finished products of the brewer's art. Or, look at another newspaper headline featuring some choice products of the brewer's art. Dateline, St. Louis. Angry teenagers beat jazz musician to death. It was reported that a gang of teenage boys and girls beat the musician to death with bricks. Police said two boys, 14 and 15, admitted they struck the man on the head with bricks and kicked him. They forced their way into his room and chased him down an alley where the girls witnessed the beating. One girl told authorities the group became high on wine at a restaurant. Mob violence, murder, and theft are directly associated with and is a part of the choice finished product of the brewer's art. In Dallas, Texas, a few months ago, six youths were indicted for a $25,000 jewelry theft after smashing windows of a jewelry store. The newspaper reported that a crowd, quote, "on nearby high school campus where several youth drank wine and whiskey until they raced to the jewelry store," end of quotation. Reports of these cases of torture, murder, rape, and crime of about every kind known, which are both living and dead, choice finished product of the brewer's art, could be multiplied thousands of times. These are but a few of the hundreds of thousands of shameful, hellish products of the drunkard maker's art. Ladies and gentlemen, hear me. Are you listening? Why don't the drunkard makers reveal their real finished product of the brewer's art on television and in their newspaper advertisements, rather than falsely presenting their products as if they produced wealth to the nation, joy and happiness to families, and hope for the culture of the world? They dare not present the truth and reveal the real choice finished products of the brewer's art. They dare not tell you the hundreds of thousands of broken homes they have contributed to. One judge stated that 78% of all the divorces granted in his court had as the basis for their problems alcoholic drinks, liquor, beer, and wine. They dare not tell you of hunger and naked bodies of children whose mothers and fathers are choice products of the drunken makers. They dare not show you the pictures of wrecks on the highways where thousands of innocent people are murdered every year by drunken drivers, some of the choice finished products of the brewer's art. They dare not tell you the truth about murder, robbery, rape committed by many of their best customers. They dare not tell you that many of their best customers are in the hospitals for the insane. They won't reveal the fact that many of their best customers, choice products of the brewer's art, are found in the police courts and in the penitentiaries of the nation. They won't dare tell the public that many of their best customers, the real finished products of the brewer's art, have gone to the electric chair and the gas chamber during the yesterdays of death penalties. My friends, I tell you that honest, sensible people should take a good look at the real products of the brewer's art. Do not be deceived by high-powered, deceptive advertising slogans and scenes of beauty and happiness. The liquor and beer industry go all out to compete for the American dollar, regardless of the cost of broken homes, murders, rapes, destruction of our society, and the diminishing of the wealth of the community or the nation. The liquor and beer industry would not dare tell the whole truth to America about the tragic cost for her drunken indulgences. Ladies and gentlemen, may I relate to you something that happened back in the early 30s after Prohibition was repealed. A saloon keeper in Flagstaff, Arizona, printed material advertising his business. The business identity was printed, and I quote, "J.J. McMurtry, dealer in whiskers, beer, wine, cigars, 5 cents a glass, beer, the Temple Bar Saloon, Flagstaff, Arizona." He printed the following message, and I quote, "Friends and neighbors, I am grateful for past favors and having supplied my store with a fine line of choice wines and liquors. Allow me to inform you that I shall continue to make drunkards, paupers, and beggars for the sober, industrious, respectable part of the community to support. My whiskies will incite riot, robbery, and bloodshed. They will diminish your comforts, increase your expenses, and shorten life. I shall confidently recommend them as sure to multiply fatal accidents and incurable diseases. They will deprive some of life, others of reason, some of character, and all of peace. They will make fathers fiends, mothers widows, children orphans, and all poor. I will train your sons in infidelity, dissipation, ignorance, lewdness, and every other vice. I will corrupt the ministers of religion, obstruct the gospel, defile the church, and cause as much temporal and eternal death as I can. I will thus accommodate the public. It may be at the cost of my never-dying soul, but I have a family to support. The business pays, and the public encourage it. I paid my license, and the traffic is lawful. And if I don't sell it, somebody else will. I know the Bible says, "Thou shalt not kill." No drunkard shall enter the kingdom of heaven. And I do not expect the drunkard maker to fare any better. But I want an easy living, and have resolved to gather the wages of iniquity and fatten on the ruin of my species. I shall therefore carry on my business with energy, and do my best to diminish the wealth of the nation and endanger the safety of the state, as my business flourishes in proportion to your sensuality and ignorance. I will do my best to prevent moral purity and intellectual growth. Should you doubt my ability, I refer you to the pawn shops, the poorhouse, the police courts, the hospital, the penitentiary, and the gallows, where you will find many of my best customers have gone. A sight of them will convince you that I do what I say. Allow me to inform you that you are fools, and I am an honest saloon keeper. End of quotation. These statistics, my friends, although staggering they are, do not picture all the misery, heartaches, and bereavement. They do not picture the sorrows and hardships of widows and orphans. They do not picture the lame, the broken bodies for life. They do not picture a funeral I once participated in, where four members of one family, the father, the mother, and two children, were buried at the same time, and one child was left to live for more than 10 years in a hospital without ever having regained consciousness, all because a drunk driver ran into their automobile head-on and killed them. Of all the more than 95 Americans who drank, some 6 million are alcoholics and 3.5 million are pre-alcoholics, which means that more than 9 million Americans, including thousands of teenagers, require some type of treatment. Today, one person out of nine who drinks, and that includes the social drinker, will become an alcoholic or problem drinker who will need treatment. Yet, we have so-called church people who approve, participate, and even sponsor social drinking. My friends, such would be a disgrace to the name of Christian. And yet some of these religious organizations manufacture liquor and sell it, advertise it in their magazines. One author said, because so many people drink, and because alcohol produces addiction, alcohol is numerically by far the largest narcotic problem in the United States and in Western civilization. From the viewpoint of material values, the dollar losses to our economic standards are very tremendous. For every dollar, tax dollar received from the sale of beer and liquor, it costs the taxpayers $7.36 to pay the direct cost for the care of alcohol victims and related destructive causes from alcohol. What about social drinking? The alcoholic is a most serious problem in America, but though some 6 million wretched souls are not only cause for misery, sorrow, grief, and corruption in our country, some 75 million social drinkers, and those sympathizers who say, "I can't see any harm in it," also contribute to the drunken stupor which America finds herself in today. The greatest cost of all is that of the loss of souls in eternity. The inspired apostle declared, and I quote, "No drunkard shall inherit the kingdom of God." 1 Corinthians 6, verse 10, and Galatians 5, 19 through 21. That is nothing more costly than the loss of one soul in hell. The fruits of drunkenness are 100% bad. Nothing good about it. Remember this, be not deceived. God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. Galatians 6, verse 7, and the wages of sin is death, as you read in Romans 6, 23. Many people today will vigorously attempt to defend social drinking. But may I remind you that so-called social drinking may be one of the first steps to becoming an alcoholic. Not only that, but the social drinker is doing harm to his own physical body. I should like to quote you an article from U.S. News and World Report, September 30, 1968, headed, "Is Social Drinking Dangerous?" Quote, "New studies into the effect of alcohol indicates that even social drinkers may suffer damage to the brain and liver." End of quotation. Dr. Kinsley, head of the Department of Anatomy at Medical College in South Carolina, said alcohol can lead to a blockage of blood in the brain cells, which then die. Among signs of brain damage from alcohol, he noted, were increasing forgetfulness and progressive loss of ability to work efficiently. He said, quote, "When this level of social drinking is such that he feels very happy, a man is beginning to kill a few brain cells. The damage is permanent." End the quotation. Ladies and gentlemen, I beg you hear me. Are you listening? Did you know that some of the social drinkers now advocate that even small children be trained in social drinking? Dr. Morris Chavez, professor of psychiatry at Harvard and director of the Alcoholic Clinic in Massachusetts General Hospital in Boston, has proposed that children in the very early grades at school be given group instruction in social drinking. He says this should begin with the very weak drinks, such as a little sherry and water in elementary grades, and continue through college. The amount of alcohol in this drinking practice, he says, should be gradually increased. He said the children should be taught to drink slowly in small amounts with other persons. Dr. Chavez, who is author of two books on drinking, Alcohol and Society, and Liquor, Servant of Men, states, and I quote, "Alcohol is here to stay, and people must learn to develop a healthy attitude toward it," end of quotation. My friends, obviously, the drunkard makers, the liquor and beer industry, are delighted at the doctor's professional advice. I'm sure the devil would say amen, too. Is it not strange that the devil manages to get professional help in promoting his cause? What a brilliant conclusion. Alcohol is here to stay, and people must develop a healthy attitude toward it. According to this reasoning, the social drinker, the doctor, it must be said, lying, stealing, cursing, and murder have been here for centuries and are here to stay. Therefore, we should teach people, beginning with children in the grade school, how to lie and steal, so they may know how to enjoy proper social relationship and escape the penalties of the law. Sex is here to stay too. Therefore, children, beginning in the early grades at school, the doctor would say, should be taught by experiment and practice. On the basis of the same argument, the Harvard psychiatrist would be forced to conclude that dope is here to stay. Therefore, children should be given small doses of LSD and small shots of heroin. Recently in Texas, a child died from a dose of LSD given by its own parents. I wonder if the parents might have read the doctor's recommendation on social drinking, that is, begin with the children. It is a known fact that drinking and dope are narcotics. They go hand in hand. Alcohol is a narcotic drug, requiring more and more consumption to satisfy the craving which it creates. That is the reason why we have 9 million alcoholics in America today, or problem drinkers in America. Ladies and gentlemen, it is pure deception, promoted by drunkard makers, that alcohol or dope is an essential to being sociable or having a good time in life. Any normal person can enjoy friendship and association with others without the use of alcohol. In fact, to be a normal human being in any environment, one must refrain from alcohol or narcotics. Judgment, emotions, inhibition, and restraint are proper God-given attributes of man. We must have them. Drugs and alcohol paralyzes these sensitivities. The more some people drink, the more they regress toward animal nature. Have you not heard the expression, drunk as a dog? Have you not seen a drunk wallowing in his own vomit? The Bible describes the drunk person as follows. They reel to and fro and stagger like a drunken man, Psalm 107:27. As a drunken man staggereth in his vomit, Psalms 19, verse 14. What a curse to society.